This is Hacker Public Radio, episode 3001 for Monday, the 3rd of February 2020. Today's show is entitled HPR Community News for January 2020. And is part of the series HPR Community News. It is hosted by HPR volunteers and is about 44 minutes long and carries an explicit flag. The summary is HPR volunteers Dave and Ken talk about shows released and comments posted in January 2020.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hello everybody, my name is Ken Fallon and you're listening to another episode of Hacker Public Radio Community News, this time for January 2020. Joining me tonight is...
Hello, it's Dave Morris. As usual, bad penny and all that sort of stuff.
And for those of you joining for the first time, HPR is a community podcast network where the shows are contributed by people not only very much like you, they are contributed by hosts exactly like you. And this is a rundown show where once a month we go back and have a look at all the shows that have been posted. And quite a lot of people, I think, are using that as a means to download, to cherry pick the mix and match type thing for which shows they want to download in the coming month. And we've had, unfortunately, no new hosts this month, Dave.
We have not. No. But there you go. It's the way it goes.
So, shall we start with the first show of the year? It was by Operator, and it was Garage Door. And this one was about how to do maintenance and repair on a motorized garage door. Not having a car, this didn't really apply to me, but I know enough people who do have garage doors to make it apply to them. Oddly enough, in Ireland, at least back in the day, there weren't that many automatic garage door openers. But
there are a few around these parts, but mostly the most popular door style is where it hinges up rather than rolls. It's sort of multi-panel that rolls up, or you know what I mean. So exactly. I don't know what type this was. I'd be fascinated to have had seen a picture, because I like
pictures
to know how these things work. I always want to know.
And there were no comments on that one. The following day, John Culp was doing some bicycle freewheel maintenance, a show which I listened to as I was leaving Schiphol Airport. And Dave commented. Is that you, Dave?
It is not. No, it's such a rare name. You know,
somebody it would be impersonating you, Dave.
Yes. Shall I read it, since it's
please do
the name? Dave says, like the show. Just wanted to say how much I like the episodes by Mr. Culp. As do we all, I think.
I like. You never know what he's going to come out with next, but it's always going to be enjoyable.
Yeah. I have had the experience he was describing, where the freewheel gets gummed up and stuff. So yeah, it's very good. And a picture. Wow.
Yes, John is good with the old picture. The following day was the interview Kevin and myself did on with Randall and Aaron over there on FOSS Weekly 553. So we redistributed it here.
I think that worked really well, actually. I think you two did a fantastic job. So,
yeah, it was great to have Kevin on. There I was just focused on HPR, but he was more chilled out, I think.
Yeah, he's chilled out sort of guy, I guess.
He is. And he's also added, I don't know if people know this, Kevin submits well, people know this, Kevin submits shows on a regular basis, he does series, but when he submits the shows, he basically does them all and then uploads the entire series in one go. So we're a party a little bit to at least knowing what's coming up, and you can too if you go to the upload section of the HPR website, you'll be able to see what's coming down the line. So he's got some very interesting shows coming up in the future feed. So we had the HPR community news for December, and we failed again, Dave. We didn't say anything controversial.
No, we're losing our grip, I guess. It's things going downhill. To say something really, really unpleasant or rude or something, sing a song.
Oh, maybe people didn't want to say anything because of the topic of harassment was
indeed
coming up.
Indeed, yes.
So far, nobody has contacted me about this, and I'm just wondering, should we email the previous hosts to ask them directly? The last time I ever contacted them was a lot of people didn't appreciate the fact that I did contact hosts, but yeah. Maybe this one would merit firing off a quick email.
Yeah, I don't know whether it's the sort of thing that we should ask the mailing list for an opinion. You know,
Absolutely. That
part of the community might have some interesting things to say, rather than us sort of making that decision out of the blue.
Yep, good. Thank you, Dave. And that there, folks, is exactly how we, Dave and I, deal with these sort of questions. If something comes up where it's clear, you know, the spam on the website, yeah, we delete it because there's no free speech involved there. It's just we've agreed. Our policies, in air quotes, on the HPR website is we have been programmed to know what to do in that situation. Whenever we hit something that we don't really know what to do, I will ping Dave or he will ping me, and we'll have a look at what we've done in the past or what was it been on the mailing list before. But when in doubt, we shout basically over to the HPR mail list and let everybody have pitch in on the decision, including ourselves as HPR hosts, taking off the volunteer hat and putting on our hosts as HPR members.
Yeah.
So that's how that's done.
Can get some excellent feedback, I think, from that source. So it's a great way of doing things,
and it also gives you a feeling for different aspects that I wouldn't consider myself. So you get different viewpoints. Sometimes you go, "What the hell?" and then I go to bed, and I wake up in the following morning and go, "You know, that's actually a very valid point." So it's always good to wait 24 hours before replying to the mail.
That wisdom of crowds thing is—it really does work.
Yeah, exactly. Anywho, note to self: send a thingy out to the mail list. So the following day, the World of Commodore 2019 Episode 4 Bare Metal Commodore 64 emulation on a Raspberry Pi. This was another one by Paul Quirk, and he this person had tried to get the, apparently when you I'll just give you a summary, when you do the emulation it's very slow normally to boot up, and you don't get the real Commodore 64 experience. So this guy Randy went back and programmed a bare metal emulation using Linux, but stripping it down to the bare metal. It was fascinating to listen to.
Yeah, it's amazing what people do, isn't it? Yeah. I was in awe, I have to say.
Absolutely. No comments on that one. People are quiet this month, but no doubt, and if you're for, we will get comments on that one. And the following day, Jezra Jazz waltzes along and does a show that I've been planning for the last 4 years and doesn't tell me about it. This, folks, is what happens when you procrastinate. Somebody will do the show. So best thing that you can possibly do is stop procrastinating and send in the show. So thanks very much, Jezra, for that. A lot more concise than my waffling would have been.
Well, yeah. Jason does get to the point very quickly, and he's got some really pithy things to say. You know, there's some really good stuff there. I've just been discussing Lineage OS with my son, who's installed it on his phone, and I've got an older Cyanogen derivative, but Lineage is the obvious way to go. So listening to this was it's just a case of finding a time where you can do the stuff you need to do to your phone without having a need for the phone as a phone and all that stuff. But I will get to it soon.
I have I've been thinking about doing this episode, but it's more about maybe when I'll do it. Every time I go to do it, I think, is there going to be use in it? Because every time I go back, I've done the so I go through a space where I need to install Lineage updates on people's phones around here, because I got I have 6 phones here in the house that run Lineage for the kids, and then I have an old phone that I keep that's got Google services on it, so I download the APKs there, and basically that turns on. I do updates, and then I copy the APKs for anything that they need for schoolwork onto the other phones. Not one, two. But every time I go through it, like, I have this text file that I'm updating with show notes, and it changes every single time. I cannot get consistency in it to do the show. So I'd hate to, like, start doing the show and then people using it as a how-to. So really, it wouldn't be a how-to show. It'd be more a, this is the state of the art at this particular point in time.
Yes.
Which, how again, things were. Is not going to be a whole lot of use in 6 months' time, because things will have changed again. So.
Yeah. It's a rapidly moving thing, isn't it?
Yeah, maybe it's a show of, I should just do a warning show. Okay, this is what's going to happen if you open this can of worms. Anyway,
yes, shall we move on? Yes. I could witter on about this, but
Whitter away.
No, just really to say, I only discovered Termux within the past 6 months or so, and it's the most wonderful thing ever. So I was really glad that Jezra was extolling its virtues there.
Yeah, fantastic. And JWP is now a red hat shill for HP, which is great. Congrats to him. Couldn't happen to a nicer guy, actually. And was going through Red Hat 8 on a low-end laptop.
Yeah, cool. Never occurred to me that one would do that. Well, it costs money, though, doesn't it? It's uni.
Yeah, but it's supported by Red Hat, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, we ran Red Hat Enterprise Linux at work, but that was still do, I think, quite a lot of the time at my old work. But so we used it a lot, but not on any desktop or laptop machines in those days. So though we did used to use Red Hat before it became Enterprise Linux on everything, but those are into Linux.
Okay, and the next day we had Firefox updates with some recent useful add-ons. And this is by Ahuka. So they he had the talking about the sharing between different accounts, and also about Facebook containers. That container is actually quite a good thing. I use that quite a lot. If you hit the plus button and keep it pressed, then you can have your own firewalled tab for various different things. So if I'm going to Amazon, I open my own tab for that.
Yeah. I did put the Amazon. I use Firefox for Amazon, and I've got it in a container. But the tab's there permanently. It's a pin tab, so it's constantly in that in that container. So I hadn't really explored containers other than that. But certainly not Facebook. I don't have anything to do with that. But yeah, it's very cool that you can protect yourself from these horrible organizations. It's a bit better these days.
It's a pity that you have to, but there you go.
Oh, it's surveillance capitalism is the thing, isn't it? This is what we need to kill. We need to kill the whole business of capitalism coming into our houses and into our heads and into our bodies probably in the future. And
the views of Dave do not necessarily refer to the views of HBR as a whole.
Oh, damn, I've been watching the wrong YouTube videos. No,
I know, because I have your browser history already.
Yes.
An operator had a quick update about the only key, which was interesting, actually. I'd not heard of it before. It was a thing to store your your store and use your passwords. So yeah, it's a physical hardware device that you can keep your password secure on it.
Yeah, it was quite good, wasn't it? He kept saying YubiKey, and I wasn't sure whether he was talking about YubiKey or OnlyKey. But yeah, I think there's quite a lot of similarity between the two, from what I understood. But I've not really delved into the details yet. But yeah, it sounded like a good thing to have, one or the other.
Is our commenting system working good? Because nobody's commenting on anything.
Well, I've certainly approved a number of comments, but there's not been a lot.
So the next show was a presentation about new games coming to Commodore again from Paul Quirk, and there were no comments on that one, which was interesting to see that new games are being developed still for Commodore 64.
It's amazing, actually. Yes. Who would have thought it? How many other machines of that era are getting that amount of work done? It's quite interesting. Yeah. It'd be like seeing stuff at the BBC again or something. It'd be cool.
Yep.
Oh, and by the way, we've got 7 comments in total for this month.
Okay, cool.
So I was just away looking. So, yeah,
you were going panicking there, aren't you?
That's right.
So the following day we had a Tale of Two Hackers. This is by Sigflub. And there are some comments on this one. Do you want to do the first, please?
Claudio M says, welcome back. So good to have you back on HPR. Pretty neat story. Do you have more like that? I'm sure others would be interested in hearing stories like that. Again, welcome back.
And unfortunately, I felt I needed to comment to offer my condolences on behalf of everybody at HPR. Alison, who she interviewed in episode 2592, took her own life, I think, and has passed away. That was very sad news to hear. And our thoughts go out
to
Sigflub. And if anybody is, you know, in that sort of a zone, there are friends here in HBR that we'd like a chat with you before you decide to take that sort of drastic option.
Indeed.
So
yes, quite a bomb show to hear that.
Anyway, moving on. New Year Show episode 1. Kevin was in a panic to get these uploaded. And fair enough. As with HPR, if you volunteer to do it, then it gets done. So this was the first show where it was actually quite relaxed. And weirdly enough, my kids were sitting outside listening to this live stream for hours. I found it immensely bizarre, but apparently for half an hour, one of them was listening to it. And she says, yeah, it was great. You could tune out. It was like white noise. Thank you very much.
So ASMR type things. Yes. People whittering. I like that.
So, however, the Magic Mirror 2 thing was absolutely awesome. I've set that up here on one of the PCs without the Magic Mirror part because I can't get the glass. It's very expensive,
the
single-sided glass, but having a...
plastic version that you can... I did not use a mirror. Mine's not a mirror. It's using the software, but not the mirror, just on a monitor, sitting here telling me the news headlines as I speak. It's a really great thing. I didn't realize it had been around for so long. Cool.
And it gives you, serious access to online APIs and stuff, and you're kind of hacking on those, and that's interesting and useful and a very useful sort of life skill to have in these days where everything's a microservice.
No, it's got great potential, I think. So maybe an HBR show with just to bring people up to speed might be a good idea. I don't know. Several years behind the curve, but still might be worth talking about a little bit.
So we have 2 comments. One is by Bian, B-I-N. Silence. Silence removal is not very kind to me. It made for good disjointed rambling though.
So yes, I think he's saying that the silence truncation attributes that were used to process this show were clipping some of the words a little bit. I did notice it a touch, and it's really a difficult thing to get right. But I have a show in the works where I'm actually going to explain what I did to try and improve my own work in that area. So it's just waiting for the audio to be recorded. The second comment was from somebody completely different called Brian.
Exactly.
who said, oops, there's a crack in my screen right where my name was misspelled in that comment. At least I'm laughing this morning. I thought that was wonderful. I'd have fixed it if he'd asked, but it's actually much more fun that he came back with a comment to explain that he'd mistyped his name.
I can just see it now in years to come when all these children will be called Bian. Where did the origin of that name Bian come from?
That's a wonderful idea, yes.
Although you want to be fairly desperate for names if you start picking them from the comment section of HBO.
yeah, true enough.
So Daniel Pearson gave us a JDK 14 wrap-up session, which I thought was going to be immensely boring to start off with, let's be honest. But I found myself, at the last one going, oh, is the show over? So kudos to him for making what is going to be dry subject very, very interesting.
Yeah, it's. I had not realized, I don't know anything about Java, really, other than it exists. And it looks very verbose when you look at the code. But it's got so much in it. It's a hell of a powerful thing. I think I said before, my son is learning Java as part of his computer science degree at the moment, and he's actually enjoying it quite a lot. His first reaction was, yuck, I don't want to do this. And now he's really enjoying it. So, you know, I think it's one of these barriers that you have to get past, and then you realize it's actually a lot more powerful than you perhaps thought.
I use a lot of Java at work, and I'm actually surprised at how much it's come on. Since people are using a lot of libraries now, you know, so a lot less hairy. So the following day we had Fix Your Fog Machine, or Save Your Fog Machine, which was again by Operator, and he has fog machines for Halloween over there in the States, and ended up, rather than buying a new one, ended up getting two and then using one of spares, two cheap ones, which is... So I commented on that Big Clive on YouTube channel I watch has taken a load of these apart for fun and entertainment. And he works in the, he's basically an electrician that works in the AV industry and works up there in Scotland on the Edinburgh Tattoo.
Does indeed, yes. When there's a lot of fog machines, although there's real fog as well, I would imagine.
But he's taken a few of these apart and will give you rundowns on what to do and how to fix them. It's so cool.
Because it's basically a giant vape machine, I think, isn't it? It's a thing that heats up a glycol, one of the glycols, I'm not sure which one, and makes it vaporizes it and spreads it all over the place. So, yeah, it is a giant vape machine, I do believe.
So the next day we had The World of Commodore 2019, Episode 6, Introduction to C64 OS.
Yes, another one where somebody is building a complete from the ground up operating system for a Commodore 64. Wow.
Yeah.
It's very, very impressive what people are... I never quite understood the enthusiasm for the Commodore. I guess it was pretty popular in the UK, but the BBC Micro, I think, grabbed a lot of its business. That was my impression anyway, because it was homegrown and all that sort of stuff. But it's extraordinarily popular machine.
Yep. So the following day, we had a New Year's show number two, and Tony and Poppy were on these ones. And a lot of the guys from the US podcast as well. It's pretty cool. And the following day we had Wrestling As You Like It, so a podcast by The Dude on a podcast on why he likes wrestling and how it works to draw in fans. And this is kind of cool, is the good guy and the bad guy, or I don't think those are the terms he used. It's also interesting that he's studying to be a sports journalist.
Yeah, I hadn't appreciated that until he mentioned it in this episode. That adds a different dimension to everything. It's very cool. Yeah, I like what he's doing here. It's quite an interesting insight to all of this stuff. And I also caught him saying that British wrestling is making a bit of a comeback these days, which I was not aware of. So that's quite interesting too.
And you mentioned female wrestling as well.
He did, yes, indeed.
Drawing more viewers than regular wrestling, very impressive. So, the following day we had Activity Pub Conference, where this was an interesting summary by Ahuka, who wasn't there in person, but viewed the videos and basically gave a rundown on some of the stuff that was going on there, which was nice and interesting. I like his summaries from shows like this.
Yes, and lots of good links as well. I started looking at actually the videos on archive.org, so I started looking at that. Didn't have time to watch much, but a quick look at some of the information about the protocol itself. It was good, so there's lots more to research if you're interested in this, and I'd quite like to know a bit more about Activity Pub.
So then we had episode 2996, Spider Oak update. That's correct, isn't it?
It is, yep.
From operator, and he basically runs through an update to my cloud backup solution and some fixes that he has. And he's got a link in there to the command line reference for the Spider Oak script.
Yeah, it's an interesting insight into how he uses this. I've never gone too far down this road, but it sounds like a pretty good choice to make for a backup system. Very, you've got a lot of stuff.
Yep, I have a show in the works about that as well. I need to record it. Just promised. I owe myself a show. I hate that. So the following day, we have another one from the World of Commodore 2019, episode 7, and this was video playback and the pain involved in doing it on a Commodore, and how you can and a much better solution that they came up with in the end.
Yeah, it's really really surprising that a machine of this vintage with a 6502 in it can do this type of thing.
It's amazing, isn't it, what you can squeeze out of a machine. Really, we're wasted for processing power, to be honest. So the following day we had episode 3 of the New Year's show, and discussion about ZFS, and loads of links in there. Kevin did a really good job on doing the show notes on this year, which I always think is the most difficult part to do. So hats off to him.
Yes, indeed. He sent in some really good notes this year. I think I put them through Markdown to get the link, proper links and stuff like that. But the content was all there. It's really good.
And there was a lot of people from other shows turned up, and from the Linux Tech Show, Claudio M, Destination Linux Guy, Ubuntu UK podcast people. So cool. Have a listen to that when you get a minute.
Yeah.
So the following day, we had SQRL, which I thought was going to be a SQL read something or other, but it turns out to be a project by GRC, which is he's on the Twit network. Steve Gibson,
yep. Yes, so, Squirrel, it's yeah. It's pronounced, which I like. And the logo is a squirrel too, which is quite cool.
Interesting approach. Very interesting approach.
Well, I remember I used to listen to that particular show, though I haven't done so recently, probably a year or two, listening. But I remember Steve talking about this idea, and it looked like it was going to be a massive undertaking. And I think it has been. It's been 5 years or something. He's been working on his end of things. But he seems to have a really impressive team around him to develop stuff. And Daniel is a member of the team. I thought,
exactly.
That was very impressive. Yeah,
very impressive. I'd like to hear Ahuka's view of this. Actually, what the word from our own security guru would be.
Yes. I opened up the documentation that's linked here, just to start having a look, see if I can understand it. But I've just not had the time to dig into it yet. But I think it does look really impressive, actually. And the quality of the documentation, I mean. So hopefully that will help to clarify things. It could well be the way to go for the future.
It's interesting what the Wikipedia is saying about it. The method is taught to be impervious to brute force attacks or data breaches. Those are fighting words. I'd like to see anything security-wise. I'd like to, because it's attacking or improves on protocols such as OAuth and OpenID, and I really would like to see some peer review of this before I would trust it. Not to say that, it's just I know a lot more eyes are on OAuth and OpenID than they have been on this, because it hasn't been on my radar. But that said, I would think it would be a nice addition. If it does what it says it does, then it's very cool. It would be nice to have a overview on the a diagram of what sequence diagram of how it works.
Yeah, absolutely. It Daniel did a little bit of a verbal overview, but it sort of went straight over my head, which is what made me want to go and have a look at the documentation, see if I could understand his explanation. But cool.
So finally, this month was episode 3000, and I was at a complete loss as to what to do. And Paul Quirk stepped up to the plate with his 10th anniversary show and suggested that we feature some Frédéric Chopin's music as done by the Kickstarter project organized by the Muse Open project, museopen.org. And I thought, when I heard this, I thought, yes, that is absolutely fitting for HPR and a very, very excellent episode 3000.
Yeah, it's really quite a different episode. I know John Culp did some stuff about the other project, which was about piano music that was being made CC. And I've forgotten the name. I thought it would pop straight into my head when I started talking, but it didn't. But this one sounds amazing. It's a lot. I think it's been going on for a while. 2014 was the goal for completion. And I think it has a lot of work. I'm not sure what's been completed exactly, but it's certainly got a lot of backing. And there's a lot of information, a lot of music available and so on. If you don't look at the website.
I don't think we explained what they want to do is even though Frédéric Chopin's music is out of copyright, if an orchestra does it, then they have the copyright of that performance, so therefore it's copyright. So what they wanted to do was take these public domain works and have them recorded by musicians who are paid or volunteer their services, and then that performance gets released under a Creative Commons license and CC by SA, actually. And as a result, you never have to pay for it again, and you can put that music into your videos or into your movie or whatever, because it's there for the use of it. So, brilliant idea. And, let's do the entire backlog and get music in, get public domain music, because then, people would have the idea, start questioning the whole thing about copyright.
Well, absolutely, yes. I'm just looking up Kimiko Ishizaka.
That's the one. Thank you.
Was the person who's doing a Kickstarter for the Open Goldberg variations was what she was doing, which was amazing. Yes. But it's a very, very laudable thing. And I'm surprised that the whole concept had passed me by. So thanks to Paul for alerting us to it.
Better late than never. So that was the shows for January, and we had one additional comment. Dave, do you want to do that, or shall I?
We had one additional comment. One comment on a previous show. I'll happily do it. It came from Pokey, and it was to show number 95. Which was entitled.
See, he has a backlog in this queue, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I think he certainly does. Security Wow was the name of the show, and it was by Rowing Golfer, who many people will not be aware of, but he's been quite a prolific contributor to HBR in days long gone. I think I met him once at Oldcamp. But anyway, maybe that was not a year you were there. He came to the HBR table to say hello. And interesting fella. Lives in Scotland and I think somewhere like Dundee, or can't remember exactly where.
Yeah, the Open Molar project as well.
Yeah.
Unfortunately,
absolutely.
It's not been developed and I think is available.
Ah, I didn't know that. Okay.
I heard of that somewhere.
I remember a discussion about it and it sounded amazing. But yeah, I hadn't heard what had happened to it. Anyway, Pokey says a long overdue thank you. Thank you for this episode, he says. Thank your take on podcast sponsorships and the way this episode made me laugh has been the inspiration for many of my own recordings for HBR, Dev Random, and now the You Random podcast. It's been more than 10 years and I still remember HBR 95 fondly. If not clearly, the commercial spoofs, which are very popular with my co-hosts and possibly even with our listener, and I do from time to time on the random podcast info, are all just
shameless
an attempt.
Shameless plug.
It's doing well here. Just an attempt to share the cynical amusement I felt when I heard "Security Wow!" exclamation mark. So
I really enjoy when he does the random podcast. They take off they'll do an ad sponsorship in between for a while. You think, is this real? And then it's really well.
yeah. I don't listen to You Random. I really must.
Oh, you must.
Yes,
there are only
yes.
five of us over there, so you know he needs the need every less. It's another sort of pull up a chair and sit down and have a beer type podcast, but it's very funny. Just people cool. chatting, basically. Also, still owe me the shows. You owe me. Where is the book club thingies?
Oh, yes, indeed.
Yes, they have like episodes. It's not as if they're procrastinating about them. They've got the episodes recorded. They just need to send them in. Give them to some of us. I think it might be one of the hard disks is in the freezer or something where they're trying to get recording back. Yeah, anywho, moving on. That was it for comments. Mailing list discussions basically centered around we're going to FOSDEM, and after the new year, I started panicking. We only have a month left. Desperate for people to send in some artwork. And loads of the lads sent in, loads of people sent in fantastic submissions for the banner. And the banner is now printed right there, sitting in the corner. And I also took the logo and got 2,500 stickers done.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because the FOSDEM, Dave, you're saying, oh, print off 500 thingies. I'm not sure. Anything less than a few thousand. And yeah. So I registered a domain for, what is it called? freeculturepodcast.org.
Mm-hmm.
Much to silence from my wife. And then, and I just need to buy a banner. Longer amount of silence. And I'm getting some stickers. Even longer amount of silence. So, yes, it'll be fine. She's very.
I owe you some money, I think. And I
nah, I mean this is my this is it, this is just a good idea to do. It's
it's a very good thing.
We're going to FOSDEM, and if we're going as HPR, then just promoting HPR. Anyway, that's not all we do when we go to OddCamp. We have the HPR table there, but you know, you're as much promoting other podcasts as anything else. So having going as HPR, who are a member of the, you know, Free Culture Podcasts group, then yeah, that's better because you can, you know, what's your interest? I'm not interested in sitting listening to tech podcasts. Here's a list. Even when I was sitting down today at dinner, I've shown the family the booklet that I'm doing. Thanks very much for your help with all of that, by the way.
No, you're welcome.
Thanks to everybody else who's just general thanks to everybody who has helped me with not only the website but with the banners and with the logos and all sorts of stuff like that. So really awesome, Ron, and who else has submitted stuff? I can't go through everybody because there's been loads of people who submitted banners and or submitted artwork stuff to get me out of a pickle. So it's really cool. You know, you go, last week we were on a rant about, you know, ooh. But this is more the HPR sort of community that I am familiar with.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It's an amazing thing. It's astonishing that you ask a question or ask for some help and people are there with brilliant skills and suggestions and so on to help out. It's amazing.
And just maybe to explain to people who don't know, we're going to FOSDEM. It's the FOSDEM is the largest free open source conference in Europe, probably one of the bigger ones in the world anyway, and it's absolutely massive. Dave and I have been there years before, and JWP and other HPR listeners. And this year we've applied for a table, and this year we got a table to promote Free Culture Podcasts on the Sunday over at where the Debian people hang out and the Python people, so around there. So that'll be interesting.
Yeah, looking forward to it. We've got a good position, really, haven't we? I thought we'd be up the back of one of the less frequented areas. Exactly, yeah. We're actually quite well placed, I think. So
yeah, it's really good. Busy over there. But then again, it's always busy at FOSDEM, so you know that is just a completely different mind-blowing sort of an event when you go. So I've got the hotels booked, got the train, got the banner, got the stickers. I don't have the print-offs done yet, but we'll still do those, and then we'll see how we go. Who else is coming? Klebe and
The marshal who goes by, yep, Timmy. He's driving over as he does.
Yes.
So yes, and it's no distance at all from where he is because he's right on the south coast of UK. And Andrew McNallow is coming along as well. And I'm not sure who else. I've not heard of anybody else. JWP you mentioned already. Yeah.
Nightwise will be there.
Oh, good. That's good. Yeah,
he's offered to come and help us for.
That's really good. Oh, great.
I said, he asked when should I come. I said when around lunchtime so we can go and get a sandwich. So that's actually practical.
Yeah. I hope it's been a few years since we were last at FOSDEM, and the arrangement was that there were sort of food wagons down the central part of the university and more along the road outside the university. But now the number's up, it was about 5,000 delegates in those days. Now it's up to between 8 and 10. So I don't know what the queue's going to be like for those sandwiches.
I think they just changed the way they counted the numbers, that it was always higher, but they are now counting them differently. So
yeah. But anyway, it's going to be a lot of fun, I think. Looking forward to it.
I don't think I missed anything else. It's mostly that. There's a typo, and that's about it. So, stuff that's coming up. FOSDEM. That's about it there. How are the tags going, Dave?
Right, on the wrong tab. We had some contributions from Windigo this past month, which thank you very much. I've mentioned his name in the summary here, and so we managed to add 9 tags and summaries to 9 shows, which is gradually moving the line forward. So all very to good. The good. Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Okay, I think that's it. I'm going to go and add ink to my continuous ink supply system printer, which is over here. Already did a show on that. And you can indeed tune in tomorrow for another exciting episode of
Hacker
Public Radio!
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.